From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Faith, the Protection of the Family, a message which concentrates upon the faith of Moses' parents. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled The Enemy Frustrated. The text is 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 32. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. Neither did Sennacherib molest the city. He had boasted loudly, but he could not carry out his threats. The Lord is able to stop the enemies of his people in the very act. When the lion has the lamb between his jaws, the great shepherd of the sheep can rob him of his prey. Our extremity only provides an opportunity for a grander display of divine power and wisdom. In the case before us, the terrible foe did not put in an appearance before the city which he thirsted to destroy. No annoying arrow could he shoot over the walls, and no besieging engines could he put to work to batter down the castles, and no banks could he cast up to shut in the inhabitants. Perhaps in our case also, the Lord will prevent our adversaries from doing us the least harm. Certainly he can alter their intentions, or render their designs so abortive that they will gladly forego them. Let us trust in the Lord and keep his way, and he will take care of us. Yea, he will fill us with wondering praise as we see the perfection of his deliverance. Let us not fear the enemy till he actually comes, and then let us trust in the Lord.
They have won the crown at last.
Anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you. Continuing this series of messages in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns is now focusing on verses 23 through 29, the passage that speaks of Moses. In this particular message, he is focusing on verse 23, which deals with the faith of Moses' parents. In the face of Pharaoh's command that all the male Hebrew children were to be slain, Moses' parents first hid the new baby for 3 months, then they placed him in an ark of bulrushes, abandoning him to the mercy of God. In this message called Faith, the Protection of the Family, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating how Moses' parents sought to exercise a godly influence on their son as long as they could. We'll see their faith in God that caused them to disobey the king's command, providing an important lesson in the relationship between Christians and the civil government. Further, we'll note the providence of God in causing Pharaoh's daughter to find Moses. God provides, protects, and prepares those whom he intends to use in his service. Here's Dr. Cairns now with the next portion of this message called Faith, the Protection of the Family.
You can never really train a man to be a preacher. You can never train a man to be a servant of God. This crazy notion that has got into our churches today, that if you simply give people enough education, if you simply teach them enough principles, if you simply give them the refinements of a liberal arts upbringing, then they will make good ministers, is absolutely foreign to the scriptures of truth. There is a place of study. There is a place of training. The Bible even speaks of the school of the prophets. But you can never make a preacher. You can never make a minister of Jesus Christ in any college or seminary. God Himself must give the endowments of the gifts and the graces that are necessary to people who are called to the work of God. It is time in our churches that we get back to the old biblical way of praying the Lord of the harvest to thrust forth laborers into the harvest. It's time that we get back to the old biblical way of praying that God would call man, endow man, and endue man, instead of going out like the rest of the businesses of the world into the job market in order to fill vacant pulpits the best way we can. You'll find that churches advertise for ministers just the very same way that the local garbage company gets its employees. And I think the result will be much the same. When the church sinks to that level, then it can not expect to have anything very spiritual about its ministry. I find also that ministers go about the task of obtaining employment in the ministry the very same way that people in the world do. I find that there is a tremendous falling off from the recognition that the man who is to lead any part of the work of God needs to be called to that work and endued and endowed by the Lord for the work that he gives. Moses was endowed with all necessary gifts and graces, but he was so endowed from his very birth. We read that his parents saw he was a proper child. Actually, the words simply say that they saw he was a beautiful little child. That's all. He was born like some of you, exceedingly handsome. And some of us, he may have kept it or may have lost it. All babies, we are told, are beautiful, but this one was particularly so. There's something special about his beauty. In Acts chapter 7, verse 20, we read, to give the words their literal significance, that he was beautiful to God. Exceeding fair simply means he was beautiful to God. And why most linguists take that as a Hebraism, and I have no doubt that linguistically they have a lot of evidence on their side, I think that I am prepared to take it very literally. In the light of all the evidence concerning Moses, he was beautiful to God. You see, the eye of the Lord was on him from his very birth. And the Lord looked at him, not as Pharaoh looked at him. Pharaoh looked at him as an ugly threat, a Hebrew brat, somebody who had to be killed. Pharaoh would have hated the sight of Moses at his birth, but he was beautiful to God, because in that little infant, despised by the world, the mighty purposes of God to redirect the entire current of human history and human learning and human culture and human worship were all being formed. How little it takes for God to change the world. How little it takes for God to derail the purposes of mighty princes, to take the direction not just of a generation or even of a nation, but of the whole world and change it. Just one insignificant babe. He was beautiful to God. And I believe God communicated that to his parents, because we read that they hid him. I believe that they did that, as the Bible says, in faith. Now, it is interesting here that in Exodus 2 we read that it was Moses' mother who hid him. She is the one who's credited with the act. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, it is the father who is emphasized. It was his father's house. No mention of his mother. In the words of our text, it is his parents, the father and the mother, who are credited with the act of hiding Moses. It has been well remarked that husband and wife should go hand in hand to the throne of grace and join together in every good thing. It is well for children when God can lay the credit of bringing the child in faith to the Lord, to the mother. It is well when he can lay that credit to the father. It is well when he can bring them both together and lay the credit to them jointly. We have homes today, usually where neither father nor mother is very godly. In Christian homes, we find very often that it is the mother who is struggling to maintain godliness, while the father, if he's saved at all, is a spiritual pygmy who gripes when things go wrong, but does not have the spiritual stature, the spiritual energy, the spiritual interest, or the spiritual commitment to be a man of God in his own home. He's busy with the things of the world. Not necessarily in a sinful sense, but he's busy with the things of time and sense. And he loads everything of godliness onto his wife and leaves it all with her. Then wonders why his sons follow him into the world and the neglect of the things of God. It is a good thing when husband and wife go hand in hand to the throne of grace. Husbands and wives should pay very particular notice to what the Lord has to say about their children from their birth. And not only so, and here I'm going to be very old-fashioned, and I'm going to go way back as far as the action of Christian parents and Christian churches go. I'm going way back now. This is retrogression of the worst sort in the eyes of modern men. But husbands and wives who go hand in hand to the throne of God should seek the face of the Lord to discover the gifts and the graces and the endowments of their children. so that they can, by God's grace and in faith, seek to direct those young people in the proper way in the service of God. I think this would go a long way to overcoming the great battles that so often take place in homes when parents want teenagers to go one way and teenagers want to go another way. Very often the thing is looked at much too late in life. It should have been a matter of prayer from the moment you knew that child was conceived. It should have been a matter of real interest before God that you would have God's will for that little one, and that recognizing its gifts and its graces and cultivating its gifts and its graces, you would seek to have the calling of God for that infant. This is what Moses' parents did. We read that by faith they hid him. They did it because the Lord showed him he was beautiful to God and he had a purpose for him. But you might well ask, where's the faith in hiding your child? Would an animal not even have done as much? Would a bear not necessarily, naturally come to rescue, even at the cost of her own life, her own cubs? So where's the faith in this action that's so natural? What father and mother will naturally give up their newborn child to be murdered by a heathen king? Well, clearly there was parental love in this action. Clearly there was natural affection. But you see, natural affections that are held captive by the grace of God and are employed by faith according to the word of God are right good servants of God. Sometimes grace and Christian duty cuts across natural affection. That's a big trial. You remember the case of Abraham that we looked at? He had a father's love for Isaac. But the Lord said, put Isaac in the altar and put him to death. There you had natural affection pulling one way, and you had the command of God pulling the other way. And when the command of God cuts across natural affections and natural bonds, natural affection must give place to grace. That's why the Lord Jesus said that if you hate not father and mother for his sake, you can't be his disciple. There can be no competition with Christ in the life of a believer. If anyone or anything ever comes to take the preeminent place of Christ in our lives, to command our consciences, to hold us captive, we must cut asunder. But there are many times when the Lord graciously lets our interests be intertwined with his interests. And I think you know that that's the usual thing. Trials are not the lot of the people of God in the sense that all they have are trials. Oh, we have our trials, all right. We know that. But commonly, the Lord so works our affairs that he intertwines our interests with his interests. And if our natural affections are held under the sway of the grace of God and the word of God, so that we don't interpret the scripture in the light of our desires, but we hold our desires under the sway of the scriptures, we will find that generally the Lord will do for us what he did here for the parents of Moses. He will work out his purposes and he will give us our heart's desire.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.